Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. It's 8:08 on the Sunday morning. Dave, would you give me that weather forecast one more time for tomorrow?
For tomorrow, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Rain, freezing rain, and sleet before noon. Rain likely later on in the day because it will warm up. Cloudy skies overall, a high of 38.
Okay. Now, would you take that outside and burn that, please? Wow.
Don't kill the messenger.
I'm not. And in fact, I'm sure you're
I am just a reporter.
Right. I understand. And right after this show ends, you'll be changing the oil in the newsroom Zamboni.
Oh, speaking of the newsroom Zamboni,
yes.
Mr. Pearson, it's been a while since we've had the newsroom Zamboni up and running because of the holidays and everything else.
Did you sell it?
No, I didn't sell it.
Okay.
We're having some problems with it.
No.
This was me at 3 o'clock this morning trying to fire the Zamboni.
Mm.
I just couldn't get it started.
Spark plug. Sounds like a spark plug. That's my audio diagnosis.
How hard I tried. I just couldn't get it to run.
Just couldn't turn over,
nope.
Could you?
No.
All right. Well, you've got time today to work on that.
We'll get it started.
All right. We'll get an updated report next Sunday when it's supposed to be 50
That's
degrees
right.
out. Oh.
We won't need it.
No. And then it will start.
Then it will start.
Of course. Yes. Yes. Thanks a lot, Dave, for all of your maintenance help. Appreciate it so much.
Master mechanic, Schwanee.
Indeed. Well, we've been talking about Donald Trump, the Senate confirmation hearings going on. We talked about Rex Tillerson, the Trump nominee for Secretary of State. He got grilled, but he wasn't the only one. And Illinois' Democratic Senator Dick Durbin questioned the president-elect's attorney general nominee, a colleague of Durbin's, Republican Senator Jeff Sessions, about what Durbin called a consistent opposition to fixing the nation's immigration laws.
When I asked what you would do to address the almost 800,000 dreamers like Oscar Vasquez who would be subject to deportation if President Obama's executive order was repealed, you said, quote, "I believe in following the law. There is too much focus on people who are here illegally and not enough on the law." Senator Sessions, there's not a spot of evidence in your public career to suggest that as Attorney General, you would use the authority of that office to resolve the challenges of our broken immigration system in a fair and humane manner. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, you are wrong, Senator Durbin. I'm going to follow the laws passed by Congress. As a matter of policy, we disagreed on some of those issues. I do believe that if you can continually go through a cycle of amnesty, that you undermine the respect for the law and encourage more illegal immigration into America.
And that's the Republican Attorney General nominee, Jeff Sessions. Well, we're going to switch gears now and talk about the news that broke on Friday here in the city of Chicago, the findings by the Department of Justice into their investigation into the Chicago Police Department. And joining me now on the phone is my great Tribune colleague, Annie Sweeney, who has been following the DOJ investigation from its inception. Annie, thanks so much for getting up with me this morning. I appreciate it.
Sure thing, Rick. Good to talk to you.
And I think we talked when the DOJ launched this investigation on this show. And why don't you, if you could, just bring us up to speed on the basic findings of their report.
Sure thing. We did talk about it. That was more than a year ago. It was about, I think it was 13 months ago when they announced that they were going to do what's called a pattern or practice investigation. And on Friday, they announced the results, which is that Chicago police routinely use excessive force, shooting people who don't necessarily pose a threat, or, for example, using tasers or stun guns you know, on people who don't follow verbal commands. And they also found in the investigation that they disproportionately use these tactics on minority communities. They also cited them for a accountability system that doesn't really keep track of officers, investigate them well. They found some differences in complaint patterns as well, depending on, you know, when Blacks, whites, or Hispanics are filing complaints in the department. Hit them hard on training as well, training and supervision.
164-page report. Obviously, even though it was a 13-month investigation, it did seem that it was something that the DOJ wanted to hand in under the Obama presidency.
Yes, we were told by many sources that they definitely wanted to get this in before next week.
And, you know, you touched on some of the training issues, and I think the one that probably has gained the most notoriety is the fact that they were basically using for educational purposes a 35-year-old video of use of force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, you're right, that was one that jumped out of the report. It is one instance that the investigators observed. They were on the ground over at the academy doing ride-along, so they observed that in one classroom. But what it pointed out to them is that I think the takeaway from the report is how well is the department preparing officers for, you know, these really critical choices on the street, you know, when they have to decide which level of force, if at all, to deploy.
And the report, I mean, this was kind of an interesting press conference to watch because you had Mayor Emanuel there with his prepared statement, but you could kind of see the grimacing that was going on when you look at the fact that just how scathing this report was. And that also included the fact that, you know, while there was kind of a I guess my words, backhanded thank you to the police department for trying to make improvements even during this investigation, that those improvements fell short of what the Department of Justice thought was necessary.
Yeah, I think in the report, they do an analysis of what the city of Chicago has done in this year during the investigation. Certainly, the mayor is right that they didn't wait. They did begin to implement some reforms and try to address some of the concerns. But there is language in the report that points out that they fell short. You know, they raised issues about the taser training, you know, whether in the rush to get all officers trained on tasers, you know, did they do it too fast? And were officers leaving the training feeling confused or vague about the rules? And tasers, of course, are, you know, considered a less lethal option on the street, but you know, they're still painful and they're still not something that should be used without proper training.
And right, and that all goes again to the various stages of use of force to
mm-hmm,
be considered.
Right. Exactly right. It's less lethal, but you still need to be able to articulate why you need to do it, what is the threat, and also, you know how to deploy them.
We're speaking with my Tribune colleague Annie Sweeney. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. Just a quick update. We talked earlier in the program about the Congressman John Lewis and Donald Trump back and forth. ABC News is reporting that the president-elect no longer plans to visit the National African American Museum on Martin Luther King Day due to what the Trump transition team calls scheduling issues. So there's some of the latest in that continuing story. Once again, we're joined on the phone by Annie Sweeney. She's my colleague at the Chicago Tribune who's been covering these issues involving the Chicago Police Department and, of course, the Department of Justice report after its 13-month investigation. And Annie, I wanted to talk to you, and you touched on this about issues of accountability, about the way various complaints are treated. But it also seems to kind of just basically say in this report that there's a broken disciplinary system that exists in the Chicago Police Department.
Yeah, there was a considerable amount of time dedicated or space in the report dedicated to discussing the entire system, kind of from the internal investigations that happen at the department to the outside agency. It's called IPRA. Some people might recognize that. That is charged with investigating some of the more serious incidents like shootings. They spent a lot of time taking a look at that and talked about the need to reform that pretty extensively.
And it also talked about something that has been talked about for a long time, about the issue of a code of silence.
It did. They used some pretty strong language in discussing the concern over the fact that officers in the department are too quick to not only be forthcoming about what's going on, but to help cover up for other officers.
Well, to lie. I mean, the report noted officers lying in interviews and testimony. The report said well beyond any passive code of silence.
Exactly.
Quote, it constitutes a deliberate, fundamental, and corrosive violation, the report said. This code is apparently strong enough to incite officers to lie even when they have little to lose by telling the truth, unquote.
Right. And at least one expert we talked to said that this jumped out to him as particularly strong language, that it almost seemed cultural. What they were trying to say is that it was that Chicago has a really deep cultural problem in this area.
And so where do we go now? I mean, obviously, we have DOJ, we have the city talking about the issue of trying to achieve a consent decree. But then there's also questions, too, about with a new administration in Washington, is efforts to reach a consent decree, are they affected by the fact that the incoming Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, is not necessarily a fan of what he, I think, has termed overreach, in his view, of DOJ reaching in and trying to administer how a local police department functions?
I think it's absolutely fair to say that the activist community, the civil rights attorneys who have for decades asked for some sort of reform of the department are on guard, and they are going to be watching very carefully if the change in administration affects this process in any way, for all the reasons you stated. There are some options, for them. If the process is not moving ahead, they can obviously file at the court themselves, assuming the consent decree does get filed in the coming months. And by the way, that will take months.
I don't mean to interrupt, but let's just explain what that consent decree process is, okay?
Right. So in the next several months in Baltimore, it took, I think, five, federal officials will work with the city and everybody involved in this, police, community, et cetera, to try to work on agreeing to what can be done to address the concerns they've raised, like what practically needs to change. What does your use of force policy need to look like and say? How should officers report when they use use of force? That's all going to take months, and then it will be entered in court, and there'll be an independent monitor from outside the city who's brought in to help everybody negotiate all these details.
That's the referee.
Yes, right.
And that's a key issue. I mean,
it is a key issue, and I think a lot of people in Chicago were watching to make sure that the city would agree in principle again to say yes, we're gonna work with the federal government toward this consent decree, and we're going to allow an outside independent monitor to referee it.
I noted, too, in all of this that while this whole process began after the release of the dash cam video involving the shooting of Laquan McDonald, but the report didn't really go into that shooting.
It didn't, you know, the report touched on many examples and of incidents that they looked at. I do think that shooting was mentioned by name, but you're right. They didn't dedicate very much to it. But in the part where they did talk about the code of silence, they did mention it. Because, as you know, there's several of the officers involved in that who were at that scene are under investigation for their role in that and for what they reported in hours after it happened.
But I know that there are people that thought that would be a way to kind of maybe see if this went beyond the police department and into City Hall.
Oh, right. From the beginning, I think the Department of Justice said they were going to be limited to the department. But yes, you're right. I mean, there are, I think the Tribune has written plenty about the concern about why we didn't see that video before we did, and what other kind of systems were in place to keep it hidden from the public.
I know that Superintendent Eddie Johnson was making kind of the rounds of the Saturday morning news shows yesterday. Mm-hmm. What's he saying?
He has said since he was appointed to the position that he is committed to this process and that, that it is time for change. He's been pretty consistent with that. I have heard him talk about some of the harms that have been committed and the need to restore a lot of community trust.
And there's a lot more of the story that lies ahead. And you can get full and complete coverage of this from all different aspects, from the report to what City Hall has tried to do. All of that is, you can find that on the front page of this morning's Chicago Tribune, including a great story by Annie Sweeney. Annie, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
We'll be back with more right after this.